smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 30. My name is Fred Green, and we thank you for joining us for another episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. If you're new to our program, thank you for checking it out. And if you enjoy what you hear today, this is a podcast. So we invite you to get your free subscription on iTunes or listen directly at edwinwattsgolf.com and go back and listen to other episodes as well, because we featured some of the newest products and the biggest names in the golf club engineering and development industry. And today is no exception. The man in charge of securing these guests is Kenny Nicholson, technical specialist at Edwin Watts Golf and edwinwattsgolf.com. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, good morning, Fred.
How are you, bud?
Good, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm really fine. I understand you've got some exciting things happening over at Edwin Watts Golf. Your Invitational is happening, the big golf tournament that you guys do annually. It's happening this weekend, huh?
It is going on this weekend. So we've got a lot of people in town from the manufacturer side of it. They're usually their sales forces here, as well as our the majority of our retail managers are here, because we tie in the retail managers meeting over the same weekend. So it's a pretty fun get together. It's 2 days over two different courses and a few hundred golfers. It's a real good time.
Wow. Sounds awesome. Hopefully in the future we're going to be able to come in and do some recording too. Maybe we'll talk to some people and we'll make a special podcast just out of the event itself. That would be a lot of fun.
It would be.
Well, back at episode 4 and 5 of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, long time ago, we were introduced to hybrids, what they were for, how they were developed, and why every golfer should consider using one. And our guest at the time was John K. Solheim, VP of Engineering at Ping. Well, we're happy to have him back to discuss the newest line of Ping clubs, the Ping Rapture V2 Driver, Fairway Woods, Hybrids, and Irons. Welcome back to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, John.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
We really appreciate it. So, John, what makes the Rapture V2 set of clubs unique?
Really, it's the technology that goes into the clubs. When we do our Rapture and now the Rapture V2 line of products, we really take any restraints off the design engineer and say, you know, just go build the best golf clubs you can with the, you know, manufacturing technologies that's out there. So we see a lot of multi-material show up in the design of the Rapture product, and it's all about, you know, raising the inertia, getting the CG in the right position, optimizing that ball flight for the individual golfer.
John, if you don't mind, could you tell us about the different materials that are being used in this new V2 driver?
Sure. In the driver, it's actually titanium and tungsten. So the majority of the golf club is a large, 460cc titanium body, but it features some strategic tungsten weights in the sole area, kind of out on the back of the club towards the heel and the toe. And this does kind of everything you want it to do for a driver. It lowers the CG. Lower than the CG is going to lower the spin of the golf ball. It also moves the CG back. That's going to help launch the ball higher in the air. And it raises the inertia of the golf club, so that makes it more forgiving on heel and toe mishits and gives you a higher ball speed on, depending on where you hit it on the face.
It seems like what we constantly hear from new driver technology is higher launch, lower spin. At a certain time, is that going to be maximized to where, you know, something else is going to have to change? And if it is, where do you see that change happening?
Well, there's definitely a point where you could get too high of a launch or you could get too little spin. It really depends on the golfer. And I would say most of the cases when we're fitting someone into a driver, their current driver is not launching high enough for them and they're getting too much spin, or, you know, at least one of those. So the direction we're still going is designing golf clubs that launch it higher and spin it less. But you're right, there is a point where you can have a driver, you know, just take, for example, if you take a tour caliber player and give them a 16-degree driver, that's going to launch the ball obviously too high for them. So there comes a point where you get too high of a launch angle or even too little spin. And a lot of it depends on the swing speed and just the swing characteristics of the golfer.
Yeah,
but in general, the biggest benefit right now is lowering that spin and raising the launch angle.
Yeah, that's why we stress on the show always, try to get fitted, you know, if you can, on a launch monitor, because, you know, like you say, we talk about launch launch angle and spin rates a lot here, but too low a launch and too low a spin, or vice versa, too high a launch and too much spin, is you're going to see a huge distance loss with your driver. So what you want to try to do is find the optimal launch angle and spin rate. It obviously makes a huge difference, especially on the launch monitor. You can see it. It's visual to you. You can see the difference in yardage and spin rates. And if you haven't ever done that, we advise everybody to go do that.
Yeah, it's really an inverse relationship too. So as you can kind of just take for granted, is you raise the loft of the golf club, you're going to obviously launch it higher, but that's also with more loft creating more spin. So as you increase launch, traditionally you pick up spin as well, which is not, you know, they're working against each other. If you lower the loft, you lower your spin, but you lower your launch angle. So the secret that we try to do is design golf clubs that can do both for the golfer.
John, I'm curious, from the engineering department, when you guys are working on the development of these kind of clubs and of new designs and new clubs getting less spin, more launch, less spin, you know, whatever you're working for there, when is it that you guys decide, all right, we've got enough now over the last club, it's time to move forward? It's like, this is what we were trying to achieve. I mean, what is the amount of difference that you feel it's enough to release a new product?
Well, I mean, that's something that I've kind of worked a lot on over here, is kind of our processes and how we go about designing new product. So it's really, I would say we used to be kind of in that mentality where it was, you know, design, and at some point you say, okay, draw the line. Now we're more, when we know we need a new product, so we said, you know what, we need to replace the Rapture V2. We've done a lot of work in advance already on Rapture V2. So we've got this kind of bank of knowledge of here's all the things we can do. So the design process is more, I guess structured would be the right word. We pull from our latest technology, apply it to the design, make the best possible driver we can at this time, and go with that. So it's kind of a switch in the, used to be you design and test, and then you say, oh, can we make it a little better, design, test again. Now we've kind of done all the testing up front. So when it comes time to develop that Rapture V2, we've done all the testing up front, and now all we have to do is design it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. John, Ken, does that make sense to you?
It's a little counterintuitive. But we found, like, I've spent a decent amount of time studying kind of best practices within, you know, engineering concepts, not just within the golf industry, but kind of, you know, looking at engineering leaders throughout the world, and it's kind of the mindset that most of them employ when they design new products.
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you have to stay ahead of the curve, and you have to be ready for new product launch. You can't really be playing catch up. So, and the thing that's, you know, they have a certain size limit, 460 cc's. They have a certain coefficient of restitution, 0.830. I mean, all these parameters are in place for them to go ahead and say, okay, let's develop products that are going to stay within these rules that we have to stay within. So, what, you know, what's interesting to me, or would be interesting to the listeners, I mean, how far do you guys stay ahead of technology for these launches? I mean, do you have stuff in those banks of knowledge that you talk about that you know, will cover you over the next year or two, or do you guys just basically work in a certain category of products? Like Rapture is obviously, with, you know, the materials that you use, that's a certain breed of product, as well as G10, you know, is a pure titanium. So you obviously have people that work in different areas on different product lines. So how far do y'all stay ahead of technology?
Well, I would say for different areas, we're different amounts ahead. It's been a big focus, I'd say, over the last couple years, just to really focus on kind of that upfront knowledge capture and building that library is kind of the term we use for it. There's some areas that I would say we're, you know, really strong at, kind of golf club dynamics and, you know, what CG effect it has on the golf ball and the effects MOI has on the golf ball. I think we have a, you know, very good understanding, probably better than anyone else on that. There's other areas that, you know, like new metals and stuff like that we do have a metallurgist on staff, but, you know, there's gigantic engineering firms out there outside of the golf industry. That's all they do is, you know, work on new metals and stuff. So we kind of work with them on, you know, how do we come up with new materials that would work better in a golf club. So there's, you know, a lot of internal stuff that we're working on, as well as kind of using a couple internal resources in conjunction with some external resources to kind of keep ahead in the knowledge game.
If I may, I want to go back to what you said just a moment ago, where you said that you have a better grasp on that. Why?
Why do I believe that? I mean,
yeah.
I haven't gone.
What is it about you guys?
Everybody else. I feel that just by based off of the tests and stuff that we've done on our equipment compared to other people's equipment, we feel very comfortable that if you actually go out and try a Ping product and go through our fitting type process, that we'll win our fair share and more of customers, because they'll be happy with our product and it'll perform better for them. So I guess just by looking at the product, I feel that we have a stronger understanding than most on that.
We're very lucky that at least 99% of the Golf Better audience has the means and function to be able to go out and buy new clubs every year. And Kenny knows this for a fact, because they all come to him and buy the clubs. And so why is it that someone who bought new Ping products a year ago, or own any Ping products, why is now the time to make a change?
I guess I wouldn't categorically say everybody who's bought Ping product in the past needs to go out and buy a set of Rapture V2s. I would definitely say it's something I've put in my bag because I saw some dramatic benefits from it. And I would just encourage golfers to go out and give it a try. There's a demo day coming up at their local club or golf course. Go out and try the new Rapture V2. And if you feel it's going to help you take strokes off your game, that's when it's time for you to make that investment. But, you know, our G10 product line is very good, and I'm not trying to discredit that and tell everybody who just bought G10s over the last year they need to go out and buy Rapture V2s now.
Yeah,
if
and obviously
did, that'd be great. I'm not going to be upset about it. But, and, that's not the message we're trying to send to everybody. You know, G10s are done, and now it's Rapture V2. We've got two good products out there, and our past products are very good as well. But you can't. There are benefits. There's newer technology, newer stuff that we've learned, you know, from designing clubs that will benefit golfers. They will hit their driver further. They will hit iron straighter. So,
yeah, there's also a price point involved. V2 is going to be a little bit more expensive, but the materials that you use in that product are more expensive as well. And I just want to. I don't know if we discussed this the last time we had you on, but the Discovery Channel did a television show a while back. I watched, I think it was called How It's Made, and they actually were at the Ping plant showing how you guys make iron products. And if you didn't get to see that or would like to, I would advise anybody to watch it. It's an incredible show. I was totally fascinated, and I've been in this business for 15 years, and I learned a lot just from watching that episode. It was really neat how you guys make products there and the technology that goes into making those products.
Yeah, we've actually been featured on a couple shows. I think the other one's called Made in America. They've been out here too. And, just kind of went through our process and showed how a golf club's actually made.
And as you said, Made in America. So the V2 line of irons, which player category is that going to fit?
Well, it's a game improvement iron, so it's really focused at that category. But I say that, and I'm a decent golfer, a 6, and I've decided, you know what, game improvement's the way for me, because when I was going out hitting them and testing them, I'm like, I'm going to score better with these clubs than, you know, when I was playing the more, you know, blade-type products. So really for someone looking for a golf club that makes the game a little easier to get the ball on the green, one of the big things we did with the Rapture V2 is we actually strengthened the lofts, not across the board, so the wedges still have similar lofts to like what we've been in the past with the G10. But as you get to the mid and longer irons, we've taken a little loft off there. And what that did is it gives more proper gaps. Most golfers will find when they go out and they get to like a 5-iron, 4-iron, 3-iron, the gaps tend to get smaller and smaller between their clubs. And by strengthening the loft a little bit throughout the set and reconfiguring it, are able to give proper gaps. And then the other benefit that most people, or a lot of people, are looking for, some people aren't really looking for it, but when you actually go and hit it and see it, you kind of discover that you were looking for it, is, you know, just some added length with like your 7-iron or your 8-iron. It's a lot nicer to get up over a shot. You know, it's a 155 and be thinking about 8-iron instead of 7-iron.
And you've also got the V2 Rapture hybrids that are out as well. And now there's a lot of sets that are being done where people are mixing and matching the hybrids into their iron set. How does that work with the new V2 Rapture sets?
Well, with the Rapture set, the hybrids, the lofts, obviously we thought ahead and made the lofts for the hybrids match up with the iron lofts. So as you pick your replacement where you're going to go from irons to hybrids, those lofts will blend right together and you'll get proper gaps going from your irons to your hybrids. And we really see that kind of as the, I call it, you know, next generation fitting, where in the past it's been kind of iron fitting that we pioneered, and then, you know, driver fitting has been big for a while now. Now you need to get fit, you know, for your whole set. And, you know, what irons do I need to play? What wedges are going to best serve me out on the golf course? And then where do I need to switch over to hybrids? Where do I start not hitting my irons that well and will hit hybrids better? So it's really part of the fitting process. Where do you want to switch over, you know, go from a 6-iron to a hybrid, go from a 5-iron to a hybrid, and then right from the hybrids to where do you switch over to fairway woods?
And what would you recommend to people as far as making those switches? Is it the level of player or swing speed? What is it that you say, you know, maybe you shouldn't be using this 4-iron, maybe you should go to a hybrid or a 5-iron or a 6-iron?
You know, swing speed, I would say swing speed and just consistency of how solid you hit the ball would be the two biggest factors. So as your swing speed gets slower and slower, the long irons start getting real bunched up. And so moving to a hybrid is the right call there. And then just if you're kind of more inconsistent golfers, hybrids tend to be a little easier to hit than, say, a long iron. You do give up maybe a little bit of control on right to left, but they're easier to hit solid. So you kind of got to weigh that too into effect. So we found, you know, kind of a higher handicapper tends to go to hybrids earlier than, say, a lower handicapper.
And you mentioned you're a 6, but what about somebody who's a 16? And again, looking for a game improvement club, a 16, an 18, a 21, you know, they don't get to play as much, but they're always looking for a way to get a better club in their hand that's going to give them some advantage on the course as well as some more confidence. Mm-hmm. Is this line of clubs going to help them as well, as for the better golfer?
Well, I mean, the whole line, yeah, it's game improvement kind of across the board. And so, yeah, from the irons with the, you know, we talked a little bit about multi-materials. The iron's actually a stainless steel body with a titanium face. So that titanium face, we're able to move a lot of weight out of the golf club. And then we redistributed it on the sole with the tungsten weight. So the real high inertia in the irons, but we've done the same thing in the hybrids in the fairway woods, where it's a stainless steel body with a very large tungsten weight in the sole of the golf club, which raises the inertia and lowers the CG. So really the entire set's made for game improvement, but with that said, good golfers can use this too, and you know, they're designed really, as you go through the fitting process, usually what it works out to be is a, you know, a higher handicap golfer. They just need more loft. You know, they need to go to hybrid sooner, play more fairway woods and a little more loft on their driver, whereas you get to a better golfer, they're going to have less loft on their driver, play probably, you know, one or no hybrids, and, you know, less fairway woods as well.
One of the things that I found unique in reading the information about the new set of V2 Rapture clubs is that not necessarily clubs that you're just going to be, walking into a store and pulling it off the shelf and walking out the door, right?
Definitely, yeah.
This is all custom fit, all custom built clubs?
Yeah, and that's kind of my engineering speech, is with all the technology and everything we design in it, if you just go and buy it, you know, standard off the shelf, you're really at risk at not taking advantage of all the technology. And you know, that's not just for our clubs, it's for all clubs, is if the club can't be properly fit to the golfer, you know, they're obviously, you're not going to hit the driver as far. Like Hunter Mayhem, he went from a Rapture to a Rapture V2 and picked up 20 yards. But kind of the obvious thing is, if we would have given him a driver that had the wrong shaft in it or the wrong loft on it, he would have lost yardage. So even though it's got all this great technology, if you don't have the specifications that are right for you, you know, you're not going to see the improvements.
And that's what really makes this stand out, is not only are you going to get more accuracy, you're going to get more distance, but you really need to be fitted for the right club for you and the right shaft for you, right?
Definitely, yep.
Awesome. That's amazing.
It's amazing when you do get on the launch monitor and you have two products identical, same loft, but different shaft, and see the difference that the two products have. It truly is amazing. So, you know, being fit for that product is vitally important. And, I mean, obviously all tour players do it, but that doesn't mean that the average consumer can't go out there and benefit from that. So, definitely.
And that's one thing I want to mention is, you know, I think a lot of people get intimidated by the fitting process, but with launch monitors, with the tools that are out there today, it's not that intimidating of a process. It doesn't take that long. You know, a driver fitting can be done in minutes. You know, get the right loft, get the right shaft flex. It can be that simple. It can be, you know, as easy as hitting two or three golf clubs in the launch monitor and, you know, quickly dialing in which one's right for you, and then, you know, you're off to the golf course. It's not a complicated process. It doesn't take hours. It can be very simple.
It doesn't take hours to get fitted, but what happens once you're fitted? How soon can you walk out the door with clubs?
Well, that's one thing we take a lot of pride in, is if the club to your specification is not in stock there, we can build them within 48 hours and, you know, basically be shipped out within 48 hours. So depending on the type of shipping and stuff that's used, you know, the idea is within a week. If you get fit on, you know, one weekend, by that next weekend you should be out on the course with your new clubs.
They've realized the importance of getting the club in the consumer's hands as quick as possible, because most golfers, in particular myself, are extremely impatient when it comes to waiting on something. So,
yeah.
But, you know, with, you know, Ping being able to turn that product around and get it out, you know, in 48 hours, we can have it to the consumer within a week's time, and he has a custom fit set of golf clubs made personally for him.
So, yeah, we've really done a lot in the last few years to try to make the fitting, you know, as painless as possible. So you're not, it's not a painful process. You don't have to be embarrassed, you know, if you hit some bad shots or whatever. That's all part of the fitting. And, you know, seeing those bad shots, the fitter can learn, you know, how to help your game through equipment. And then, two, we get those clubs out to you right away. So it's not like you get fit and you got to wait 3 months for your custom product to come in. It'll be to you, you know, in a week.
John, it's interesting, as we talk about hybrids and we talk about the irons and accuracy and, added distance, and more people seem to be, from my perspective, it seems that more people, more golfers are carrying more wedges in their bag, and we haven't even touched on the new fairway woods that you're releasing as well. Are the fairway woods losing their cachet? Are they losing importance in an average player's bag?
I don't think so. The hybrids, I would say, took a dent out of irons in fairway woods. So they're all sharing the same amount of space. But the fairway woods definitely have their place. I feel like a broken record here. It just goes back to that fitting process and what club's right for you. Fairway wood, I would say, is even more easy to hit solid than a hybrid, but it also is a little more easy to get offline right to left. So as you go through that fitting process, you kind of got to, you know, go out and hit them. What do you feel more comfortable over, you know, the hybrid option or the fairway wood option? And then as you get to a three wood, there really is no hybrid option compatible to a three wood. So a three or four wood is always a good club to have in your bag.
And like John says, anytime you increase shaft length, you're going to increase that ability to go right and left. So even though the three wood's going to be probably a little easier to hit, it, like he says, it's going to obviously give you the ability to spray it just a little bit more. So. I think the fairway woods are a vital part and are always going to be a vital part. For most people, it's easier to hit that off the tee than it is a drive or some. So the playability factor.
I agree. It's always an alternate to hit off the tee. And, you know, I haven't really seen anybody take all their fairway woods out of their bag and just go with hybrids. So it definitely still has a place.
Yeah, we haven't here, so.
Right, but aren't they just carrying like one fairway wood, where in the past, before hybrids, they were carrying a driver, a couple fairway woods, maybe two wedges, and the rest irons? And,
What we're seeing here for the most part is driver, 3-wood, 5-wood, and then the hybrids. Because even though you have a 5-wood that's 18 degrees and you might have a hybrid that's 18 degrees, the 5-wood, fairway wood, is going to hit the ball further because of shaft length. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a fine line there to know exactly how far you're going to hit the fairway wood versus the hybrid. So we're still seeing sets being sold, driver 3-5, and then two hybrids, possibly a 3 and a 4, and then 5 through sand wedge on the iron set. So I think they're always going to be there. We haven't seen a decline in hybrids are as popular right now as they've ever been.
Hmm. Amazing. Well, John, thank you very much. Really interesting. We wish you the best of luck with this new set. I'm sure that people are going to be lining up to get fitted at the very least so they can get their new set of pings. There's always a great buzz on the street when a new set of pings are released.
Yeah, good. That's what we're hoping for.
I'm sure you are. And we also appreciate your generosity because we're going to be giving away one of the Ping V2 Rapture drivers to a lucky listener, and all they have to do is go to golfsmarter.com, click on the word contest, fill out your shipping information and the verification code, and click submit. And we will be picking a winner for, again, a Ping V2 Rapture driver. Deadline for entry on that is October 14th, 2008. John, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. It's been fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah, John, as always, thanks a million. I know you're busy, and it's a pleasure to have you on here every time.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, and feel free to invite me back.
Oh, all right, you're done, man. You're on.
Take care, John.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Kenny. Well, once again, John K. Solheim of Ping is an absolute wealth of knowledge that is so cool that we can get inside the mind of a VP of engineering on a line like Ping. That's just so – thank you so much for bringing him out.
Oh, it was my pleasure, man. I love having the guy on.
Yeah.
I learn every time he gets on the show.
Exactly. But in our last episode, we talked about the Mizuno irons, and we were going to be giving a set away of the MP62 with a dual muscle technology and dynamic gold shafts with the S300 Flex. And we've received 516 entries, and you get to pick a number between 1 and 516. You can pick 1, and you can pick 516, but you only, my friend, get to pick one number. And that number is going to be what?
700 billion.
Sorry, disregard.
Sorry, that's been on my mind lately.
Yeah, not exactly.
Let's go with 450.
Number 450 is going to be from San Bruno, California. I just played golf near there recently the other day. It's Rob Hensel.
Rob, congratulations, Rob.
Yeah, you are going to be very excited. Hey, Rob, when you get those irons, give me a buzz. Send me an email. Let's go out. I want to see them. So Rob Hensel of San Bruno, California, has just won himself a set of Mizuno MP62 irons. And no, I've never met Rob Hensel before. Just want to make sure everyone is aware that this is not fixed in any sort of way. But
I have played with listeners. I usually tell you how I can come up with the number. So he got lucky.
So how'd you come up with 450?
The bailout bill was 450 pages. It went from 150 from the House to 450 to the Senate.
Well, who knows? When people listen to this in a couple months, they'll go, bailout bill, what was that?
What was that all about? I'm sure that he'll call you and you guys.
And why didn't they just call Tiger and ask him for a loan, you know?
Yeah. Or Warren Buffett or somebody.
Yeah. No, but I actually do play with listeners. I get emails from listeners saying, do you really play? It's like, yes, I will. If I have the time, I will do it. I played this past weekend down near San Bruno. I played with a listener. I had a lot of fun.
So as long as it's on their dime, right, Fred?
Nope. I pay my own. Actually, thank courtesy of Edwin Watts Golf.
There you go. So, no, we appreciate everybody who listens and who enters these contests. And I'll tell you what, man, if you can win yourself a Rapture V2 driver, this is a great contest to enter.
Oh, This is a great one. I, you know, I have yet to, I have never played with any ping clubs, and if I were to replace my 4-iron right now, which I'm starting to think about, a hybrid would be a beautiful thing. I would definitely think long and hard about putting a ping in there. But I do want to remind all of our listeners that, you know, as a listener to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, they receive 10% off almost any purchase. I mean, many purchases. Now, there's some manufacturers that don't allow these kind of discounts. But there are other things. If you need accessories, you need balls, you need bags, you need shoes, and some clubs, you're allowed to do it. You'll receive 10% off because you listen to the podcast, and you also receive free shipping. So you should really look into it. Go to edwinwattsgolf.com, and when you check out, we have specific codes, so please pay attention to make sure that you get this discount and the free shipping when you check out through January 1st, 2009, your checkout code is GSMART08. The letter G, the word SMART, 08 is the checkout code to receive your discount. And if you're going into a store, they may not be aware of it, so I'm going to warn you about that. You got to work with them. You got to talk to them. The easiest way to make sure is you call Edwin Watts Golf, 1-800-874-0146, and make sure you mention that you heard about this on the podcast, and they'll take care of you as well. Right, Kenny?
That's correct. I mean, some of the store staff, you know, might not be up to speed. We're trying to inform everybody, yeah, obviously. And speaking of that, I need to call Toby Stinnett down in Boca because he called yesterday asking about it. But, yeah, we want to – if you have an issue, make sure you call up here, and you can talk to me, and I'll get it arranged for you at the store level.
Yep. There you go. But we do want to take care of you, and that's one thing. You know, it's not like Kenny's talking about they have a high turnover at Edwin Watts Golf. They don't. These people are really knowledgeable. They've been there a very long time, most of them, as Kenny mentioned a little while ago. He's been here 15 years, and that's pretty much standard for the people who work at Edwin Watts Golf. They're there for a long, long time. It's not a transitional job, you know, just being on a sales floor like some other golf or sporting goods manufacturers and retailers. So kudos to you guys for that, for making a family out of your staff and your employees. It's really wonderful stuff.
They enjoy it. I mean, our average tenure on our sales staff here at the call center is 14 years. I mean, so I'm just an average guy. I mean, if that tells you, they're all passionate about it. They all love to play, and then they love to talk about it. So to have a job that you, you know, you enjoy, you know, is a rarity for a lot of people, and these guys are passionate about it, and they love it. So, I mean, today, yeah, I mean, we do product reviews. They love to go hit new products to be able to talk about it, and that's what they're doing today for the most part.
Yeah.
This whole week with our tournament going on, we've got all these manufacturers in here, and they want us to try everything new that's coming out. And, you know, the market's been stale for quite a while, so to have new products launching now, like the Ping Rapture V2 series that's coming out, and some other manufacturers are coming out with a lot of new stuff, now's an exciting time. So
yeah,
it's been quiet for a little while, but you know, there's some great stuff coming out.
Well, also, it's exciting time because a lot of these new product lines that you just mentioned that are coming out, we're going to feature them on this podcast, right?
We will, yeah, absolutely.
That's so cool that they do want to participate. They do believe in what we're doing, and we appreciate the feedback that the listeners give. And we advise the listeners to go to iTunes if that's where you download the program from, or from Odeo, or wherever it is that you subscribe to this show. Go and write a review about this. Let not only other golfers who are looking for this kind of information, let them know what you think of the show, but it also sends a message to these manufacturers that we're legit, that we're here, and we have an impact on the golf purchasing community, you know, that, and they have a voice and they want to hear this stuff. And if
absolutely,
you have questions, please let us know.
Yeah, that's our job, to get the information out there and to be able to talk intelligently about it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, again, to win a Ping V2 Rapture driver, go to golfsmarter.com, click on the word contest, and while you're there, check out the Golf Smarter blog. It's got all of our golf podcasts on it, including Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, Golf Smarter Tips, and of course, Golf Smarter. We appreciate you listening. We invite you to return on our next episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf.